na 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 na
Hey, I got it all. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to What's the Buzz New York with your host, me, Nancy Lombardo. Okay, the month is going fast, isn't it? Happy birthday to my son. Betty Jo Tucker already in the house. Let's see, what do you have this week? Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., it's Betty Jo Tucker and Movie Attic Headquarters, 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Noted film critics Matt Bates and Jeff Roberts predict the 92nd Academy Award winners. Okay, you want to check that out. Tune in and also go on Amazon for Cinema Stanzas 1 and 2 by Betty Jo Tucker, and see also on Amazon Cake, A Love Story, a movie based on her life. She's all around. Gordon, let's get these done. Okay. Oh, good. You made them short. Thank you. No Name in a Bag of Chips tonight, Friday, January 24th, 7 p.m. show at Otto's Shrunken Head and Tiki Bar in Manhattan. That's between A and B. It's a free show. It's great. Sketch our Manoohan Hart, Camille Theobald, Nancy Parker, Kevin Barry, and Anne Bourne. You must check that out. That's going to be a great show. Music provided by the Summer Replacements. That's tonight. Otto Shrunken Head and Tiki Bar. That's 14th between A and B, closer to B. Check it out. It's free. 7 p.m. All righty. How should we begin? I don't know what to do anymore. I got to start adding some more stuff here. Let's play it by ear, I guess. Oh, that was a great interview. Oh, do I want to play that whole interview? Oh, it's too long. Okay, never mind. All right, let's see. Here we go. Afterbirth Monkey.
Bye.
Well, that was a very short song. But I'd like me some more. Afterbirth Monkey here. Where we go? I just had one here, too. It's called Road Trip. Where is it? Afterbirth. Oh, this is for Betty Jo.
Meryl Streep is from the future. She has traveled back in time. She comes from a land where stars shine brighter, like Meryl shines in yours and mine.
Back in the future where Meryl's from, she's just an acting average Joe. But now that Meryl's here, there are no acting heights to which she can't go.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary people. Oh,
Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine. Back in the future when Meryl was in high school, when she couldn't get into her drama club, she flew to the physics lab with fervor and snapped upon her rubber gloves.
Using lots of scientific physics magic, Meryl grasped the hands of time.
And she fell into a wormhole, and now she's doing fine.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary mortals.
Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Everybody, listen up.
Listen up.
Remember to give Meryl all of the awards, the accreditations, the roles, the paychecks.
Accreditations!
Because if she is in the slightest bit displeased, she will once again rip back the fabric of space and time.
Time!
To the very
time.
Beginnings of humanity when we climbed out of the primordial ooze. And she will merely dip in one big fucking toe,
big toe,
making us all a little bit Meryl, and then she will become supreme overlord of us all. Ah! Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of fucking everything. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else.
Ah!
So turn back time and enslave all of humanity. Oh, Meryl Streep,
we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Aren't they fun, Afterbirth Monkey? I'm going to play another one. This one's called Cross Country. Here.
Life is tough in NYC, though it's our home sweet home.
When life's a grind, we seem to find the urge to roam.
Let us leave our home aside for opportunity. Let's pack the car and take a ride from sea to shining sea together. Cross-country highway pedestrians, you and me, traveling the nation, looking at the landmarks.
And falling into tourist traps and leaving lots of bodies on the way.
Yay!
This is going to be so much fun. I'll pack the car, you pack the plastic.
Because murdering people feels so fantastic.
Cross-country highway pedestrians, you and me, traveling the nation, eating lots of salty snacks.
And stabbing people in the back, the body counts are
plastic. Wait a minute, hold on a second. You want to stab people?
Yes.
But I thought that you said that we were going on a murder spree, we were going to do something less messy, like, I don't know, like find a bunch of people with heart conditions and make them ride a roller coaster, or, just choke somebody until they, like, get lightheaded enough that they, like, pass out and bonk their head on a bathtub.
Look, I don't have the upper body strength to strangle anyone to death just to orgasm.
But I pass out at the sight of blood.
Look, all I know is I packed a bag full of knives and two matching Hello Kitty ponchos for us.
Aww. Oh, looks so cute.
I know.
All right, but you gotta promise me that if I pass out, that you will catch me.
Absolutely.
And I'll drop the knife.
The body count grows higher every day.
Yay!
From Old St. Louis to Kalamazoo.
Our murderous rampage is coming to you on a
cross-country
waves of grain and purple mountains' majesty.
Chopping up our dicks and leave belly to eat them.
I thought that whenever you said salty snacks, you meant things like Cheddar Bay biscuits or Chex Mix.
Well, listen, there's really no caloric value in consuming human flesh. You know, we're doing it for the ritual. You know, you like you see someone and you see the light go out of your eyes, and then you consume them and you gain their strength. And it's all about giving the strength. You know, it's not the strength. It's not about the salt. It's about the strength.
But I don't know that I'm 100% capable of consuming human flesh.
Look. All I know is I bought a hot plate that plugs into a cigarette lighter and my own personal copy of To Serve Man.
Oy vey.
We're gonna eat the people that we slay. Yummy!
Thank you.
It was epic.
I knew you were going to say that.
Listen, I can't go back to jail. Do you know what they do to gay people in jail?
The same thing they do to straight people in jail.
Butt stuff. Oh.
Look, listen, all I know is we are never going to get famous singing comedy music.
Ouch!
Listen, I know, we have a great studio, we're having a really good session, but it's just not enough, you know, diminishing returns. We're not going to be on the radio singing about butts, okay? I just figure that this road trip could be our opportunity to put ourselves on the map.
Literally. Ah, man. I guess I just always thought that we would get famous with, like, a... I don't know, you know, like, we could, like, have, like, a cologne line.
Well, no one's ever going to want to spray themselves with afterbirth anything.
We could get famous with a sex tape.
Ew, no.
Ow.
No offense, but no.
Ooh. Look through the glass. Cross-country trips, they don't come cheap, which you and I both know.
With the price of gas, we're on our ass, cause we don't have the dough.
With an audience like this, that makes us feel sublime. No need to load up for the road. We can slaughter on a dime. Our sound guy. Staycation New York murder spree. You and me, starting with our sound guy. So call your parents and say goodbye. But don't hang up the phone, cause we want them to hear you.
Yeah, afterbirth monkey, if you kill me, I won't be able to mix the album.
Oh.
Okay.
They are funny. Look them up and download their CDs. Funny group. Try and open that chat room again. Let's see if it's working. Here we go. Smiley face. All right, let's keep it going. Okay. Like a little Alan King.
Ladies and gentlemen. When Judy Garland first came to New York to open up her really theatrically historic first engagement at the Palace Theater, she said she just wouldn't come to New York without a certain young comic. She wanted him on the bill. His name was Alan King. And as you all recall, from the time he opened the Palace Theater, he became the rage of New York. Now he actually commutes to England because he's the number one comedy star in England. So let's have a wonderful welcome for Alan King.
Thank you very much. Seems a little chilly for July 5th. I don't know. But
I am very happy to be here tonight. Of course, Ed has been so kind to mention my commuting to England. I just had a great thrill. I was on the command performance for Her Majesty the Queen of England. I hope you don't mind if I spend a few minutes discussing this, because with my background, you know, I'm not too familiar with royalty usually, you know. I once got drunk with Count Basie in Cincinnati. And, we were up in Glasgow, Scotland for the command. It was a great occasion. We were all standing backstage after the performance, and the Lord Mayor of Glasgow just walked around with the Queen, you know. He was so excited. I wasn't, because I was drunk, you know. That's where they make the stuff, you know, up there. It's beautiful. It comes out of the tap. And, I was standing there, and of course, very nervous, and Lord Mayor said, "Your Majesty, may I present Mr. King from America?" And she said, "How do you do, Mr. King?" And I said, "How do you do, Mrs. Queen?" I don't think I'll ever go back. No, but she was a very charming lady. Of course, my wife was there with me, but she didn't meet the Queen. Of course, that was when I was there. Now, to hear the story, you think that she doesn't make a move without my wife, you know. Because women lie a lot, you know. No, I mean this. You know, I've been married 12 years. And I found out that when a man becomes successful in any degree, it's the woman that changes. Now, I come from the Lower East Side of New York. I never met a comedian that didn't come from the Lower East Side. I know a very talented comedian from Cincinnati moved to the Lower East Side of New York. And actually, I lived so far downtown, 14th Street was like Connecticut to me, you know. And, yeah. I met my wife there. We come from the same neighborhood. In fact, my family had more money than my wife's family. And we were on relief. You can imagine what a thrilling moment. Of course, to look at my wife today, you'd never dream she came from so humble a beginning. You think she came from a plantation in Virginia somewhere. And that's one of the reasons she's not too happy with me, because I'm the only one left that remembers where she came from. Anytime she opens up a big mouth, I remind her where she came from. I like to think back the old days when we were so happy, so much in love. We were married 2 years. My wife told me I was to become a father. This is a big moment in your life. I like the way the women tell you important things. They don't discuss it over the dinner table or during the evening. They wait till you're sound asleep. Have you ever noticed that? It aggravates them that you're sleeping. Now, my wife stays up all night because she hasn't got no place to go in the morning, you know. She watches the late show, the late, late show. She salutes the flag, sings the Star Spangled Banner. She waits for the thought for the day. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but remember what a wet horse smells like and all that. Now, I was asleep, as I said, and my wife walks in. Now, when the woman walks in, you're asleep. They do little things to find out if you're really asleep, you know. Like all the lights go on, they slam the door, the stool goes out, and then the cough. You ever hear a polite cough? Then she says, "Are you up?" Well, even if you're dead, you react a little. Then they get alongside of you and they stop at the elbow. Did you ever get the harpoon in the ribs in the middle of the night? Alan, if you're not doing anything, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm always busy at this hour. I play polo every morning at 5 o'clock. What do you want? She says, "I have a strange desire for some exotic food." She said, "Run down to the All My Delicatessen and get me a corned beef sandwich with some chocolate sprinkles, some whipped cream, a piece of watermelon, and a sour pickle." You know, sleepy as I was, I realized that this was it, you know. I had seen enough movies to know that this is the way it is. You ever notice when a woman is expecting how she really takes charge of your life? The first thing, of course, the neighborhood wasn't good enough anymore. You know. She said, "I don't want my children growing up in this neighborhood." I said, "I can't afford where I'm living now. What do you want from me?" "The kid comes, you don't like the neighborhood, let him move. I'm staying right here." "Alan, let's buy a house." Now, you know, I've been making fun of the suburbs for many years, and this is actually the way I moved out there. She said, "Let's buy a house. Everybody's doing it." You remember. 10 years ago, the exodus from the city to the suburbs. Someone cut a ribbon, they fired a pistol, and the land grants were out. Onward to the suburbs, these gallant pioneers with the covered wagons and the mink stoles hanging out the back. And everybody out there. I bought a house for $48,000. It was listed to sell for $12,500. I wanted extras, you know. Little things like I needed windows, I wanted a floor in one room. Own your own home. Save your money all your life so you become your own janitor. That's all it is. The only time my wife talks to me is, Alan, take out the garbage. I say, with a niece, where's the garbage coming from? She can't stand to see me sit still for 5 minutes. She collects the garbage from the neighbors just so I can pick it up. Suburbs, what a ridiculous place to live. Nobody talks to anybody. It's a competition thing out there, you know. I've got one neighbor I haven't seen in 4 years. He's hiding because he knows I want him to go partners on the hedges. That's the big thing, you know, the lawns. Did you ever see Sunday in the suburbs? You ever see how ridiculous the men look? They work hard 6 days a week. Come Sunday, they're on all fours like dogs crawling around. They all have the same outfits, you know. Bermuda shorts, sneakers, bony knees. And they all have the shirt with the alligator on it, like a bag. How would you like to come home from a drunk on Saturday night and Sunday morning at 6:45, the neighbors are out? They cut the grass with a motorboat where I live. You say, what's going on down there? They say, oh, good morning, Mr. King. They don't drink, you know. They're up. They're ready to go. Say, what are you going to do about the crabgrass? I'm going to let it lay there till 3 o'clock, then I'll decide what to do. I don't make important decisions at 7 o'clock in the morning. I hope the lawn rots. I hope it spreads to everybody else's lawn. Middle of a television rehearsal, my wife calls me on the phone, crying, screaming. I rush home. She's standing in front of the house. Alan, lawn is dying. I didn't even know it was sick. What do you want me to do? I've got a gardener. Oh, he's brilliant. Brilliant. He was telling me I have sour soil. I told my wife not to marry me. It's hereditary. Oh, that sour soil before me. What do you do about it? Gardener says, we use Kentucky bluegrass. That's the finest grass seed in the world. But they don't tell you it only grows in Kentucky. I had to buy a racehorse for $3,700. Let him walk around the grounds every day. You think the gardens are the only thing to worry about? What about the decorators? Are they beautiful? My wife just found two beautiful decorators. Well, a set of bookends like this you never saw. They come to the house once a week. They fly around the room. They're always wearing sandals. Could be snow on the ground. They wear sandals. And they're always coming back from Italy. They never go. They're always coming back. It's very difficult. They keep saying, in this corner, we'll put some ivy. You know about ivy. If you have a piece of furniture that has a hole in it, immediately becomes a planter. You know, the ivy, we got it coming out of faucets, keyholes, cracks in the walls. Did you see the new thing where they open up the drawer and the ivy hangs out of the drawer? And my socks and underwear are laying on the floor, but the ivy's coming out of the drawer. And my wife keeps telling me the reason we live out there is for the children. Better schools, which is, of course, ridiculous. We live directly across the street from a public school, and my boy can't attend. We don't live in the zone. They got kids from out of state going to the school, but we don't live in the zone. They tell me the zone line runs right through my house. According to them, if my kid slept in the garage, he could go to this school. I'll tell you the truth, I could go on like this for hours, but I'll be honest with you, the only reason is I don't have a finish to this thing. I'd like to finish it by selling my house. You've been a delightful audience, ladies and gentlemen, and a happy July 4th weekend, and good night. That's it.
Funny man, Alan King, funny man. Okay, as a reminder, Gertie's Folk City 60th Anniversary Concert tonight at the Iridium, 8 to 9:30. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets and more info, www.theiridium.com. It's 1650 Broadway, New York, 10019. The tickets are only $30. It's going to be great. Paul Metz is playing. They are hosted by Richard Barron of the Bongos. The Bongos! Love the Bongos. And Bob Porco, grandson of Folk City's founder, and a lineup of great artists who made their mark at Folk City in Greenwich Village. So you want to check that out. And why don't we play one of Paul's songs? Paul's singing. We can hear him singing. And I just found it and I lost it. Okay. I'll find it again. Paul, where are you? There we go. Here he is. Richard Barron. He's the leader of the Bongos, a great guy, and a member of the New York Grammy Committee. So that's at the Iridium tonight, 8 p.m. Go to the Iridium, www.iridium.com. Thank you. This has been What's the Buzz New York with your friend, Nancy Lombardo. Big kiss. Bye-bye.